Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and as usual, I'm joined by Seth Wintrow. How are you doing, Seth?
I'm good, Fred.
All right, you look better than me. I'm a little bit under the weather this week.
It's your turn.
Yeah, I think I caught something in the airplane or something, or in LA. Was in LA this week. I was in LA for the Boring Company event, the launch of the first test tunnel in Los Angeles, and sort of also an update basically of the vision for the tunnel for the whole transportation system. If you ask me, the biggest change really that happened was the tracking wheel, because the tracking wheel have become the main product of the Boring Company, basically in terms of the transportation system itself. So in terms of the Boring tunnel, boring technology, nothing much has changed with this whole event. They just elaborated on how they dug that first tunnel and how they plan to evolve their own boring technology in order to decrease the cost even more and increase the speed of boring. But those are all things that they already talked about before, so nothing really that interesting. The big update was on the transport system that goes inside those tunnels. Previously, they've talked about some kind of electric skate on which you can park your car, or then they talked about electric pods for pedestrians and cyclists. But now it looks like they dropped those plans completely, and they are going with using existing electric and autonomous, or at least partly autonomous vehicles. With those, they call it a bunch of different things, but I heard Elon mainly calling them tracking wheels. I don't know what better word you could have for that, but basically wheels that deploy from underneath the car, and they reach on each sides of they call it the shelves of the tunnel, so that you're guided and you stay within. You don't scrap your rims all around those cement, those concrete. A little sidewalks on each side of the tunnel. Do we like it? Do we don't like it? I don't know. Do you have an opinion on it, Seth?
Well, so I have a couple opinions on it. First of all, like, it's becoming less and less, you know, the skate was actually kind of a technical marvel, where this is kind of just like, you know, cars with wheels on them. And, you know, the skate idea is actually a pretty good one, like, on a broader scale. Like, you could actually, if you had, you know, these things on highways, for instance, you could have 7 or 8 lanes where you normally have, you know, 4, because it keeps, you know, you could have like a foot between cars instead of a car length between cars that I think you currently have to have now. So it's a cool technology. It's not really a new technology or a revolutionary technology. Also, you know, I think something that was interesting was that he said that it was something like these things would eventually go around 155 miles per hour, and like one of these could go every second, like just, you know, rapid fire. That would be interesting. Obviously, there would have to be a lot of communication between the cars, because now it isn't running on skates, it's running on cars. So if you have that kind of communication between cars in this tunnel, well, why can't you just do that again on roads with, you know, the same kind of technology?
I feel like the tunnels are about, like, facilitating that. Like, it's I get what you're saying. Like, at that point, like, why not just roads? But then it goes back to his 3D thing. Like, and I think that's the thing that hasn't been communicated well, right? The fact that,
like, you can make lots of tunnels.
Yeah, you need lots of them. It's just, because the test tunnel is just like one, and it's just one way, and it's just like it didn't show exactly the potential of the system, I think. Because you look at that right now and you say, what are you doing? Like, roads are better. But yeah. So I feel like a simulation on how it would look like with several different tunnels and many exits per tunnels would go a long way in showing just the potential of the system. And Elon Musk tweeted to me about that. Like, he agreed that that's something that he said actually that they had a simulation for the event, But he thought that it was too confusing, so they scrapped it and they wanted a new one.
Hmm. So, you know, to back it up a little bit, I, like probably most New Yorkers, I'm always like, well, why don't you guys just build a subway, like a really good subway, like what's, you know, in China right now, they've got some really good fat, like Shanghai Airport to downtown is like...
What makes a good subway?
Fast, efficient, clean, you know, the things you would imagine, first principles of subway. you know, we know that Elon doesn't particularly enjoy the subway. On his podcast with Recode, he said something like, I've never taken the subway, and everybody I've talked to that has hates it.
He tried to walk away from those statements during the event and the press conference before the event.
Oh, really? What did he say?
Well, he said, I'm not against public transportation and everything. And to be clear, this project is not this or that. It's just in addition to more public transportation projects. So he's trying, like, he didn't outright say it, but he was like trying to say like he's not anti.
I mean, for me, this is only a product that could come out of somebody from LA living, you know, who loves cars, because, like, you know, I just want to get from one place to another. Do I want to have a car? I guess if it makes things easier, yes. But, like, frankly, I actually enjoy going on subways and, you know, talking to people and, you know, a lot of times you don't talk to people, but, you know, just seeing people and, you know, people watching and stuff.
People watching, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like, I think it's like a social thing. And, you know, you have like stock traders and homeless people and like everybody in between. And it's really kind of a nice thing. So I don't know. Maybe it's just like the Elon Musk Tesla vision. Maybe we should see if we can get, like, maybe we'll try to do an interview with Elon on a subway and say, hey, what's so bad about this?
Are you panicking, like, right now? Are you having a panic attack? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean,
yeah, maybe he's got a little OCD with the germs and stuff.
Yeah. I think there's a few things we should mention that are important about what was said during the event and everything. First of all, Elon tried to make a point that the system, the tracking wheels and everything, are not just for Tesla vehicles. It's not the project that only works with Tesla vehicles. He wants it to work with other vehicles. Okay, but then, like, you're looking at there's requirements for this to work for the VNH vehicle to work with that tunnel. So you need the main goal is that the main tunnels, every vehicle inside are always running 150 miles per hour. That's the goal. So that's what makes it not slow down. You only slow down once you take the exits, and that's all. So much like an highway, really. But we know, of course, that doesn't work like that in the real world, because, like, people sucks at driving, and at one point someone was going to cut someone and whatnot. So, but the idea is that everyone goes inside of the tunnel, 150 miles per hour. So not that many electric vehicles out there that can maintain 150 miles per hour for a relatively long period of times. And, of course, we just mentioned you don't want people driving. You want the autonomous system driving, so that you can get that, what you mentioned, 1 second, one car per second, 4,000 car per hour. So the distance between the car and the speeds and slowing down only the exits, that has to be achieved through an autonomous driving system, at least like a system that's able to accelerate and accelerate, decelerate on demand autonomously. And also some steering too, because while those tracking wheels prevent you from hitting the sides and everything, there's still some steering involved. He's been talking about making banking the turns in future version of the tunnels, so mm-hmm. so that you feel less of the G-force, but which would help. But right now it's not the case. And when you turn, I mean, I went inside the tunnel with the Model X during the press event, and the engineer that was driving the Model X, you had to drive inside the tunnel. Like, it wasn't autonomous at all. Actually, I think they shut down the autopilot, or they shut down the sensors for the autopilot or something, because like you're eating the sides all the time, so the proximity sensors would go off, and I didn't see them go off or anything. So, yeah, what I was going with that. Oh, yeah, you need a vehicle that can sustain 150 miles power plus, all electric, with an autonomous driving system. And then you need to be able to install those wheels on them. He says that that could be an aftermarket product, so you wouldn't necessarily need some kind of partnership with the car makers. But I feel like as an aftermarket product, those wouldn't be ideal. I feel like they would, in terms of like not having too much issue on efficiency, because how your car is flat on the bottom has a big impact on efficiency, on aerodynamic performance. Sorry. So being able to hide those tracking wheels in the flat underbody is important. I mean, I don't think it's impossible to do it as an aftermarket product, but I don't think it would be as efficient. And so, and what's going to be the percentage of the time you're going to be driving inside the tunnel versus outside the tunnels? Are you going to be ready to take the efficiency hit outside the tunnel just because, like, 2 or 3% of the time you're driving inside that tunnel? I don't know. I think there's a lot of issue with it. I think it makes sense for Tesla vehicles if Tesla can partner with them and do a very efficient system. I think it makes more sense if the Boring Company actually owns the vehicles that are inside, so that it's more like a Uber thing where you you pick up it. It's a public transportation thing instead of private cars. And he did say that he wanted their own fleet, so they want a mix of their own fleet with private cars. But I don't know what's going to be the mix. I feel like the mix should be much higher in terms of a public vehicle. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but then you're starting to get just, you know, as it into a really good subway.
Yeah. Well, a subway, you know, with more exits, that's the goal, with a lot more exits. And all the wagons inside the subway, is that what you call them?
Like cars, I don't know.
On the subway, they all attach to each other, they all stop at the same time, they all stop at the same stations. Those ones would be independent. So that's one thing. I don't know if he said it during the presentation, but he did say that during the press briefing before the event. He said that right now they're using Model X, and he doesn't even know why they're using Model X. He says that in the future he would actually prefer them using Model 3s or Model Ys with fewer people per car. He wants more cars, fewer people per cars, to be more to the final destination system instead of being a mass transit system.
I have to say, I agree with a lot of what Elon Musk does. I'm not on Team Boring Company. They make great hats. I get the first principles, smaller tunnels, but like the vision for me is just, it's hard for me to swallow. Like, I get it. Like, you know, you'd love to be in your car. It would be nice to, especially like if you're in LA, I totally get it. Like, every time I go to LA, I'm like, man, this traffic sucks. Like, it's ruining the city. If I could only get from, like, you know, Santa Monica to downtown and in my car and not have to deal with this, that would be fantastic. Or, like, basically anytime I'm on the 405, I'm like, gotta dig a tunnel. But, you know, other than that, like, it doesn't seem scalable unless you're building a subway, which is fantastic. Like make cities walkable, and you know, not the scooters are kind of a big thing for last mile traffic. Like, you take your scooter to a subway, and then you hop on a subway with your scooter, and then you get off at wherever you need to go, and you go the last mile. It's, I don't know. I guess it's like whatever your vision of utopia is, and I think Elon's vision of utopia is sitting in the car. So,
yeah, I get what you're saying, and I agree with you, but I feel like we might be missing something because he seems so convinced about it. And what he said when he responded to my tweet, like when I said we need to see a simulation of it, of a full-scale system. And maybe once we see that, we're going to see the missing piece or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like that could be enough. But for now, I do agree with you. But something to keep in mind, though. Regardless, forget what kind of transportation system there's inside those tunnels. half of the whole thing is the actual tunnel itself and reducing the costs of boring the tunnels. They did that for sure. I mean, they say that that 1 mile tunnel cost them $10 million. I mean, that's very cheap for a 1 mile tunnel. Of course, it's not like a two way system tunnel or something like that, but it's still a cheaper. And they still haven't implemented most of their tunnel boring technology improvements in terms of like power and speed, all those things they want to do with the next generation system. So that tunnel was bored with the Godot machine, boring machine. They dug it out of the other side and they brought it back to the SpaceX parking lot where the boring company is based. And there they had the second one with Line Storm. That's going to be the second generation system, which is going to be more powerful, a bit faster. It has a new, they designed a new cutting head, I assume, like the main thing that cuts through the ground. And but the real big improvement is going to be the third generation system that they're designing from the ground up right now, based on what they learned from Godot and what they're learning now, upgrading Linestorm. And that system is going to be 15 times faster, they think.
15 times faster than the original one, or 15 times faster than this one that Doug?
If I remember correctly, he said 15 times faster than the next BEX system that exists today.
Huh. Because I know, I mean, you know, this tunnel was built faster and less expensive because most of the cost drop was because it's just narrower. So you can go faster and cheaper because, you know, a normal tunnel is quite a bit bigger.
Yeah.
So the area that they're excavating is a lot less. And also, instead of having to get rid of the dirt, theoretically, they're just going to make bricks out of it and sell bricks for 10 cents each.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something.
Apparently, people were able, I didn't see where or how, but at the event itself, you could order some bricks. I don't remember who told me, but someone said that one guy ordered like 6,000 bricks at the event or something like that.
I wonder what he's going to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, they had the watchtower there. I mean, the whole party was kind of crazy, but...
It is weird.
Yeah, it was very much a Tesla party. I mean, it was organized by all the Tesla PR people and... bunch of Tesla executives were there, and of course a ton of Tesla owners were there. And at one point, like a bunch of people with medieval armor showed up, and they all lined up together, and they started like to set up with what looked like some play fighting or something. So a bunch of guests just gathered around fairly close to them for what we thought was going to be like some kind of display. But they started swinging at each other with real like spears and stuff. And so
if you go to Fred's Twitter account, you can see.
Yeah, I posted a video on my Instagram and my Twitter where you can see them really swinging at each other. It was kind of insane, really. But yeah, they were while there were some people with middle armors that because they built some kind of watchtower there out of the bricks that they made from the dirt that they dug out of the hot tunnel. Yeah, that's going to be a big part of how they're going to improve the economics of boring tunnels, but also the speed is going to be a big difference because labor costs are a big expense in boring tunnel. If you can bore a tunnel 15 times faster, then you reduce your labor costs by 15 times. So that makes a big difference. So like I said, you need to differentiate like the system and the transportation system and the tunnel boring system. I mean, but tunnels are useful regardless. And so having more tunnels it would be good, even if you have to drive your car through it, though. Like, well we'll just discuss, though, the fact that you need a larger diameter for it. So, yeah, I guess it's not as good. Nope. Is that me? Someone is that?
I think somebody's at your door.
Someone's near the door. All right. Do you want to do the transfer with the next article and be right back?
Yeah. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the 5-minute buying and delivery program and that Tesla's implementing, and I think that it goes with the app. So this is one of Fred's exclusives. Source familiar with the matter told Electric that the new program is called Instant Drive Away. And it ensures that the entire buying and delivery process is just 5 minutes, which seems pretty good. There's a lot of paperwork involved, and each state has its own regulatory mess to deal with. But, Tesla is apparently able to handle the paperwork faster with the leasing and financing. So certainly this is something that would improve the buying experience. Tesla's already way out in front of other, if you go to buy a Chevy Bolt, you're going to be there 5 hours talking to a bunch of people and trying to get financing from a different person and haggling, whereas you can do most of the stuff online at Tesla and you just kind of go in and do a bunch of paperwork. So that's going to get improved here. They also, I think Elon tweeted something about service only being something you could do in an app in 2 minutes or something like that. Fred, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. Yeah, that was scheduling an appointment in just two taps on the mobile app. That's going to be fun. But yeah, you talked about the 5 minutes delivery and buying. Yeah,
so do you think, I mean, is this a California thing or a state-by-state basis? Because I know there's a bunch of New York stuff that you have to fill out specifically here that I'm sure you don't have to fill out in California, and there's probably specific stuff in California that you have to fill out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess... My understanding is that it's based, and it's not just California, it's they have a team on call at the head office, and they're just ready to process all the paperwork all the time. So that's how they are able to do all the paperwork faster, because it's not just based on the staff at the actual location where you do the buying process and the delivery process. I mean, for a while we've been talking about Tesla pushing for a 5-minute delivery process, but now we're talking about both buying and delivery, which is kind of insane. I mean, even the inventory vehicles that Tesla sells, so they have it in inventory, and we're not talking about the custom orders here. Even those that Tesla used to have like days to weeks of delays between the buying and getting the deliveries, and now they like if it's there, you kind of walk away with it. It's a little bit like what happened at the end of last quarter. You remember when Tesla did some kind of big delivery events at the Fremont factory? They invited people.
Doing Gigafactory.
And now, so yeah, speaking of that, I bring down the same thing is happening at Gigafactory 1 in Nevada, which is weird because Tesla, like Nevada, like the Gigafactory 1 is like not middle of nowhere, but.
It's way out there.
Yeah, the biggest city is...
It's definitely not downtown Reno.
Yeah, the biggest city is Reno. It's like, what, half an hour away or something? So
yeah.
Not really a great retail location, but it is the first in northern Nevada, so...
And there's plenty of parking space there.
Yeah, so apparently Tesla is making it a retail and delivery location. Again, just for... It sounds like it's just for the end of the year. So it's another initiative for the end of the year push, which is getting pretty crazy.
It does sound like it's getting nutty. Like there's like little signs, and the Gigafactory is one of them. Yeah. But also like the communication that Tesla is sending out, like every week it's like a new way to get people in the showrooms.
Yeah, we're like, releasing vehicles and stuff like that. Like when they announced that.
Yeah, basically, and I think we said this before, like they want to have zero vehicles in the U.S. on December 31st.
Like yeah,
they just want to have the whole place cleared out. Which makes sense, I guess, because now you're paying $37.50 more for every car.
Yeah, and even people that were like ordered a car, but their car went into production and everything, they were produced. But they couldn't take the delivery by the end of the year. Tesla took away their cars and they're delivering them to people that can take delivery by the end of the year. So they're going out length to get as many deliveries as they can. We had a source earlier this week that said that in the US Tesla was at 81% of their delivery goal for the year, and that was like the 18th, if I remember correctly. We were December 18th.
81% of their yearly delivery goal, or
no, the quarterly delivery goal. So, in a week and a half, basically, they had to in 2 weeks they had to deliver 19% of the entire quarter that they. So in less than 2 weeks, they had to do 20% on a 12-week delivery schedule. So, and we didn't get the details of what was that delivery goal, but I have to assume it's a pretty ambitious goal.
Yeah.
So that means a ton of delivery at the end of the quarter. We've heard of pretty people that it's working for them, like they placing the order and they get the delivery within days or a few weeks or two. People at the 9 to 5 and electric got their cars this earlier this month.
Yep, it's kind of crazy, but there's like 9 cars, and you know, just within electric and 9 to 5 Mac and 9 to 5 Toys, and more coming.
Yeah, for sure.
It's interesting. So I wonder if it's like that with other you know, groups of people who buy cars. Like all of their friends just start getting Model 3s.
Yeah, I mean, the word of mouth is pretty powerful with Tesla EV. I don't remember, like, many of my friends that got inside my cars that are now just like, oh, shit, how much you said that was going to cost? And then they start, like, making some mental calculation or something. Like,
right, their lease is up in 2 years. They need to save how much money.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. All right. Let's move on to Tesla software update that went out this week. Which update was it? It was the 2018.48.12.1. Bunch of stuff in there. Coolest stuff is about some kind of winter convenience features, just in time for the cold temperature that's hitting us right now. From the mobile app, you can now turn on and off or adjust your seat heaters and your steering wheel heaters for the cars that have a steering wheel heater. But seat heaters, like in the Model 3 too, has a seat heated seat. So you can do that from the mobile app. Though, I don't know about you, but so I got the update like yesterday or something in my car. I got that update, but you need to match it with the version 3.8 of the mobile app, and that's still not available, at least for me, in the Canadian App Store.
Interesting.
Did you see? Not know about the US, but so I have that feature working in my car, but I don't have the compatible software on my phone, so kind of an oversight. Normally, it's the other way around. Normally, like, I get the mobile app a lot sooner than I get the vehicle software update.
Yeah, that's interesting. You said 3.8?
Yeah, I'm at 3.7 right now.
Yeah, I am too. Interesting.
You have an automatic update on your mobile app? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I have my Android phone in front of me. Okay. My iPhone's in the car, so I don't know if it's different for iOS.
Yeah, I know. I'm on iOS, so probably it's the same thing. Then Tesla introduced the Keep Climate On feature for the Model 3 in the same update. Well, also the rest is pretty much only all the Easter eggs. Like, I don't know if those
very popular Easter eggs with my kids.
With your kids, yeah. I don't know if those are all the. Normally, they said there's some kind of Christmas related Easter eggs. I don't know if those are, because they don't not necessarily like Christmas related. But
well, the fire is kind of Christmas related.
Yeah, in the Christmas spirit, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, so we're talking about the emission testing mode, also known as the fart app. So Tesla has a bunch of farts noise that you can make them feel like they come out of the speakers of a particular seat in the car, so you can make it sound like
that is quite exciting, because my son, who sits in the back seat, was very excited to hear it come from like right behind him, and his brother, that was quite entertaining for a couple of, probably an hour of entertainment there.
Yeah,
and you know, as well as the new Atari games.
Yeah,
it was probably one of their favorite updates ever.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a missed opportunity with the fart app where they could have make it work with the sensors, the seat sensors, or the there's sensors in the seat that detects when you're when someone's sitting down.
Oh yeah, when you sit down. Oh,
so they could have make it so that you can activate when someone sits down on the passenger seat. Because right now, I mean, you have to play on the you have to
That's
play around
a real
on the touchscreen.
Cushion is.
Yeah, yeah, basically because. Now you actually have to play around on the screen, so people like this Tesla says that it's about pranking people, but you're not really pranking if you see them just playing around on the screen. But if you can just set it up and then as they see sit down, boop, you get that old fart noise. Anyway,
yeah, and then you have to restart it every time you start the car. You have to go into the app. You can't just leave fart mode on.
Yeah,
always, which is and then well, I saw. I saw a guy on Twitter who said he had problems because he had the romance mode fire and then he accidentally invoked the fart mode. So like one kind of cancels out the other, which I thought was kind of amusing. I think Elon might have retweeted that one too.
So yeah, the romance mode is basically you have a fireplace that start going full screen on the center display. And
looks way better on the Model 3 than the Model S and X too,
oh, yeah?
By the way.
And then it started playing some romantic music, I think, also, right?
No, I just hear fire cracking.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Maybe no music.
I thought there was some romantic music involved.
Maybe you have to bring your own music.
Then, yeah, the other Easter egg was Tesla Terry pole position. Basically, a modified version of pole position with a Tesla vehicle instead of whatever vehicle pole position was using. And it's on Mars, too. So you're driving your Tesla on Mars. That's nice. Also, it comes with controller compatibility. So you can plug your Xbox. Can you? Yeah, Xbox use USB?
Yeah, Xbox uses USB. Yeah. And I think you can just have like third-party controllers, too.
Yeah, any controller that works with USB can plug in front and control the... It's getting kind of ridiculous. I mean, you're playing video games with a controller inside your car. But it's not as ridiculous really as shifting gears with the scroll wheels and moving around with the real steering wheels and everything. That's pretty insane too. At time.
Right.
I mean, Tesla's really pushing it with those video games, but it's fun. So the fart apps, the name for the fart are pretty... pretty entertaining, like not a fart. They all basically reference to Elon Musk's companies, like not a fart for like not a flamethrower, short Ripper. if you remember, who was it? Was it one of
shorts.
The Tesla shorts with Elon Musk ended up sending a bag full of short shorts to
was David
Einhorn or something like that.
Yeah, Einhorn, Greenlight Capital.
Greenlight Capital, yeah. He, sending a bunch of short shorts. Falcon Heavy, which is like direct reference of the Falcon Heavy. You know? Ludicrous Fart for the ludicrous mode. Neurostink for those of you that have been following the Neuralink startup that Elon Musk launched. Boring Fart, another boring company reference. I'm So Random. This one I didn't get. I'm So Random.
Oh, it just picks a random fart.
Yeah, but the name itself is not a reference to anything. I mean,
I don't know.
All right, Tesla. Let's just before we move to other stuff, just a quick mention of the Tesla stock. So Tesla stock have been falling down this week, but the whole market has too. But even before the whole market starts falling down, Tesla got was having a tough week. Partly because Wall Street sort of came out with pretty negative notes about the stock, including the Adam Jonas, who was once called a Tesla cheerleader on Wall Street, hasn't been much of a cheerleader for Tesla stock over the past year, but he's considering not to be so because he reiterated I really don't get that. I mean, he's very highly ranked on tip ranks and everything in terms of Wall Street analysts and everything. But I don't get how you put an equal rate on it, a hold rating. So you're basically telling people to hold the stock, not to sell it. But you put the price target at $299 when the stock was like close to $350 at that point. Why would you tell people to hold a stock that's worth $250 when you think it's worth $291? Makes no sense to me. I don't like those things. I don't like those people.
So, well, I always find it kind of strange. Like it always seems like the worst people to listen to about stocks were analysts that were betting either for or against. So they're basically trying to convince the world to do the opposite of, or what they've already told their clients to do, or their bank is already doing. So there's not somebody anywhere who's more biased than a bank analyst, because they're basically putting out basically it's PR. They're putting out a PR release, like why you should buy or why you should sell. And why would they do that? Like, what is their motivation? Well, they probably told their clients to do that yesterday, or that the bank itself is probably, you know, put a bunch of money into Tesla and they want the price to go up after they put the money in, or they bought a bunch of futures, or, you know, whatever. It's just like, why are we listening to these? I mean, I get, you know, like they're very smart people. They have very good opinions. You know, they make a lot of sense, but like, it's always good to take everything with a grain of salt that comes out of these folks' mouths.
And, well, if you think that it's weird to listen to Adam Jonas, at the same time, Goldman Sachs released a note, and the Goldman Sachs analyst was following Tesla, David Tamburino. He's ranked number 4,437 out of 5,100 analysts on TipRanks, with a success rate of 43% and an average return of -10%. So, but and a bunch of people like were writing to me, like commenting, why do you even report on that guy? He's wrong all the time. Why would you?
But he's moving the market.
Exactly. I mean, I'm reporting it because he still has an impact on Tesla stocks. So it's worth talking about. But when I report about him, I do report the fact that he's has a very bad track record on the stock. He's been
which I find kind of strange that Bloomberg and the other financial, you know, CNBC or whatever, they never really bring that up. It's always just like it's straight.
Yeah, they don't. I've been doing that for 2 years now, where every time I report on an analyst, a Wall Street analyst, I also pull up their tip rank rankings to make sure people understand, are they good or bad. Like we just said, in the case of Adam Jonas, you have to give it to him. He's highly ranked. But like I said, I don't get his rating on the stock, on Tesla stock, because he's rating it at $291 and telling people to hold it. One thing I did mention that I think is weird too is that Adam Jonas has been calling for, he's been telling investors that Tesla is going to do a $2.5 billion capital raise by the end of this year, which is ending in 2 weeks. He's been telling that like for months now, or at least weeks. I don't know. Tesla's been saying they don't want to do that. But Tesla has a big convertible note coming February, I think. And so by February, they need the stock to be over 360, I think, in order to be able to, in order for investors to be incentivized to take the stock instead of taking cash. And so if the stock goes down and stays down, Tesla would be incentivized to, well, they will have to basically raise more money in order to pay those convertible notes. So I feel like, and of course, who's going to make more money if Tesla goes back to the market to do a capital raise? It's going to be those Morgan Stanley, those Goldman Sachs, all those banks that Tesla does business with. So I feel like if they can maintain the stock down, they can get more cash out of Tesla. So.
Yeah, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
And Tesla stock is actually worth less because they did have to go to the capital markets.
Exactly. So, always a bummer. Speaking of bummer, Donald Trump.
Our fearless leader.
Yeah. I mean, the guy hasn't talked about electric vehicles much. Unfortunately, now he started talking about it, and it's not in a positive way at all. He first started talking about it a few weeks ago, about when GM announced that they're shutting down plants. And I mean, yeah. It's a bit because GM's fault too, because it was weird how they announced that, right? Because they announced the closing of the plants and everything, and then they said, "Oh, by the way, we are doubling on the investment on electric vehicles." So like a bunch of people saw it, like, okay, they are shutting down plants because they are doubling their investment on electric vehicles, and that's not really why. I mean, the plants that they are shutting down are like the Cruise plant and the plants where they're building the Volt and all the plants where they're building the, and the Volt is on electric vehicles. I mean,
right.
All of the factories that are making the sedans, the cars, not the trucks. So that's right. Why they are shutting down those plants, because cars are not selling in the U.S., or at least the shitty cars that GM is making. So that's the reason why. But Trump just stick with the connection with electric vehicles. And now he's even going broader than just GM, because at first he was saying, I want to kill the electric vehicle subsidies for GM. Now he's talking about killing electric vehicle subsidies for all electric vehicles in the U.S. Brilliant idea, as usual. And in an interview with Fox News, he even said that he doesn't believe that going all electric is going to work for an automaker, which is completely fucking insane.
Right. So, I mean, where do you even begin? Does Trump know the auto business? Does he even really know real estate business or politics or anything?
He's a
certainly
reality TV star.
Right. He does know how to get people excited, I guess, about an issue one way or the other.
He has no vision for the future. I mean, it's not...
Right.
He's a guy. He's pro-coal. I mean, if you're right. pro-coal...
Well, I think it's anybody who pays him money he's pro them. And I think the coal and the fossil fuel industry is kind of... funded his rise in politics. So
well, yeah, and in terms of this particular case of shutting down factories, I think the what is it called, the UAW, the Auto United Auto Workers. Anyway, the union for the auto workers, big backers of Trump, of course. So and they are obviously not happy about GM shutting down those plants. So he's he's pandering to his base here when it comes to the unions. And he says that what he said. He said he called the shutting down of the plant. He said that Mary Barra shutting down the plant is a nasty thing that she did. And I have to agree with that to a certain degree, because he said that in relation of shutting. The shutdown is going to happen next year. But she did the announcement like weeks before Christmas, before the holidays.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
Yeah, so
although the nasty thing kind of conjures up his he called, I think, Hillary a nasty woman during the debates or something, and like half the women I know have nasty women shirts or coffee cups or something. So I thought that was kind of strange that he called Barra's actions nasty versus, you know, what he would call a man's actions. I don't know if that had any effect on anything. I don't know. It just seemed very strange that he chose that particular word, especially given the past.
Yeah. And but, of course, you know, he's
wrong. It wasn't cool, like, for sure. Like, Mary Barra could have picked a better time and clearly could have delivered a different message.
For sure. But what we need to understand out of it, I think, well, first of all, he's wrong on the premise that GM is shutting down those plants because they are doubling down on electric vehicles. Just wrong about that. So to start with, his whole idea about the situation is just based, it's not based on reality. So that's bad. And it's bad for electric vehicles in general, because now the president of the United States, even though he's a TV reality star and he has six bankruptcies, not someone that normally we should pay much attention to, he is the president of the United States. He's an elected official and he is very influential. So the fact that a guy as influential as him now is going after EVs, I think it's bad for all of us. And he's doing it for the wrong reason, obviously. Like I said, the premise is bad, but then if you look into it, which is more crazier. He said, okay, you cannot go all electric. You cannot have an automaker going all electric. But he said that it's wonderful to have a percentage of your cars being electric. And that's exactly what GM is doing. GM is not going all electric at all. I mean, they've been saying that. They've been saying that they are all in on electric vehicles. But, I mean, I think they are tracking for, like, what, 25% of their sales to be electric by in the next decade or so? That's exactly a percentage of your car sales. So,
not even a very big percentage.
Yeah, so it looks like he's actually aligned with GM's mission here. So, it's surreal to me, like, that something like that happens.
You know, I thought it's also interesting to think about in this context. The electric cars are more labor efficient to make. Mm-hmm. And, Mercedes, I think, came out and said that it'll lead to more job loss. And then I think there was a saying from Ford's president of global operations, Joe Hendricks, electric vehicles will mean auto factories can have a final assembly area that is half the size, requires half the capital investment, and 30% fewer labor hours per car.
Tell that to
Tesla. What's that?
I said, tell that to Tesla.
Yeah, tell that to Tesla. But, I guess compared to combustion engines, which the motors are much more complicated, I think maybe that's what GM's, they don't want to say it, but maybe that's what the story is like they don't need as many lines to produce an electric vehicle as they do as a gas car. Is that maybe that's part of the reason for cutting back? I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem like GM was in trouble until this last thing, but it does sound like the auto industry in general is flat at best and possibly going into decline.
Yeah, right now. Apparently it's going to be the first quarter that's going to be declined now in years. And we all know what happened when the last time the industry went in recession, GM didn't survive. Well, it went bankrupt, financially at least. And same thing for Chrysler. So.
Yeah, I mean, so in that, if you look at it from that perspective, like, it's good that GM is cutting costs, drastically and dramatically and definitively before it gets to the point where, they have to declare bankruptcy again.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. A lot of variables there.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to something a little bit more fun. There's some new, that's not a new EV, but we're going to get to new EVs. But first, let's start a little bit about Electrica Mechanica. Electra Mechanica, which is a company based here in Canada, Vancouver. And
they're making a convertible?
Apparently so. The Tofino, yeah. We've been talking about the Tofino for a while now. It was announced like a year and a half ago or something. It's a two-door roadster, all electric. We've been saying it's sort of an attempt to do like the Miata of electric vehicles, like a good-looking roadster convertible, but without like the price tag of a supercar or anything like that. I thought it would be a little bit cheaper. They're talking about $50,000, so it's like, of course, the Miata is a lot cheaper than that. But it's still in the same vein, if you will. There's no all-electric option in that segment at all, right? A few people are working on it. We talked about the KN2 last week Mullen is trying to bring the Chinese KN2 to the U.S., though they haven't announced the price tag yet, but it sounds like it could be a similar thing. What's really impressive here is that they got 41,000 pre-orders for the Tofino with a $1,000 deposit. So those are like people that are fairly committed to buying the car here. And they got 41,000 they announced this week without even seeing the car in person. I mean, we've seen all we've seen is a bunch of renders, so we don't have a final design of the car. They had a vehicle platform that they built for the car, but the actual design of it, we haven't seen nothing more than the renders. So pretty crazy that Tesla got 300,000 reservation for the Model 3s, but that was after they unveiled an actual car. So 41,000, it's not bad for a $50,000 car that people haven't seen yet. But of course, the Electromechanica is better known for the solo EV, like the three-wheel car. This one they have been talking about for years now. They started deliveries, but like a few, I think they have like 40 car delivered so far. But this week, while we learned about those pre-orders was through a production update, because they're switching production to China now instead of like hand-building them in Vancouver. They're ripping up production, and they are shipping out the first 48 cars produced to Los Angeles. And so we can expect delivery there soon. Then throughout 2019, they're going to ramp up productions.
So what do you think about three-wheel cars?
All electric with a low center of gravity and everything, it could be a good car. I haven't tried it yet. I wish they would let us try the car. That would be fun. We can get a better idea of just how good it is. But the bummer is that it's actually registered as a motorcycle, apparently. You cannot,
right, and that's so that they don't have to go through all this the same safety tests.
Yeah, but
it's standards, which saves a lot of money.
Saves all the money, but then you don't get the incentive for the electric car. So the goal of it was to make it cheap, like with the incentive. I mean, it's still cheap. $15,500 is not like really
cheap,
expensive, but it is expensive for a motorcycle. Even though it's more...
Yeah, and it's also, like you know, my opinion on three-wheel cars is, like, it hasn't been done right. Saunders is also working on a three-wheel car, which also is questionable. If you look at it from the right angle, it kind of looks like a normal car, but, like, driving down the street, nobody's going to be confused.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think more work has to be done in the... marketing department of three-wheel cars, because like I don't think a lot of people are really excited about getting in one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, we need to try it. I'm open to it. We reach out to us, Electromechanica. We're gonna give it a shot, try the solo, and I'm more excited about the Tofino though. Tofino makes much more sense.
That looks like
just want to see
really
it.
Nice car too.
Yeah. And it looks like we're not alone, too. Like, 41,000 people placed a deposit for it. So, interesting. Now, another new car, then SUV, the NIO ES6 electric SUV, was unveiled last weekend. NIO, of course, is a China-based electric automaker. Better known for the ES8, an electric SUV that they've been delivering since the summer.
They announced, and they're already up to 10,000?
Yeah, they said this weekend that they have delivered 10,000 units. So for the first year of a brand new startup and everything, it's good. 10,000 really EVs on the market, it's great. Now the ES6 is a smaller version, a smaller SUV, a little bit less expensive. Still some pretty good specs. Sorry. 0 to 100 kilometers an hour, 0 to 62 miles per hour, 4.7 seconds, range of over 510 kilometers, but that's NEDC, so probably closer to 350, 400.
Which is like mid 200 miles or low 200 miles.
Available in 70 kilowatt hour version, that's... whoa. Okay, there's two different...
Yeah, there was some confusion there, I think.
Yeah. Because it starts at 410 kilometers of range, but that's the NEDC again, and that's a 70 kilowatt battery pack. But then you have a higher performance version with the same battery pack that gets 430, and then you have a 84 battery pack that's again available with the 160 kilowatts motor. So why? So is it like you get more regen on the 1-240 motor in the back and something like that?
No idea. But this is a nice car. They're actually building them. Like, you know, compared to, you know, we're seeing renders and stuff. This is NIO is a company that's building cars, and quite a few of them. And it's no accident that we keep getting invited as U.S. press or North American press. to their events. I think it's pretty obvious that they plan on coming to the U.S. and Canada very soon. And I think that'll be great. This is going to be a low-cost SUV.
Well, the starting price is equivalent to $52,000 right now.
Right, but lower cost, I guess, than the Model X. And theoretically, they can bring prices down as the technology gets better. So look out for NIO. I think we haven't heard the last of them.
Yeah, and they're big on infrastructure too, like Tesla. They deploying their own system, and though they're big on battery swap too, which I'm not completely convinced of. But a ton of service centers in China are coming up right now, so investing a lot of money in the EV infrastructure, which is good. Finally, let's hand on somewhat of a good thing that happened. The EU confirmed their deal. They reached a deal to cut emission from new cars by 37.5% by 2030. So they stood up to a certain degree to the auto industry in Germany and the whole of Europe, which was asking for 30% reduction. So,
and the parliament was pushing for 40%.
Yeah, the parliament. Well, yeah, the EU was pushing for 40%. The European Council was pushing for 35%. The automakers were pushing for 30%. So they ended up on like some kind of compromise at 37.5%. And the automakers are not happy. So that's probably a good sign. That's a good deal.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. So the German Association of the Auto Industry sent out a press release saying that they are not really happy about the deal. Which means that it's going to push them to produce more EVs, really, because their mix of emissions needs to go down. And they were counting on their diesel fleet to reduce that. But we know that that was based on some faulty...
purposely faulty.
Yeah, misleading emission results. So now they have to find other ways to reduce... to reduce their overall fleet emission, and EVs are the best way, right?
I think so.
And 2030, though, I mean, that's so far out. We're still 11 years away. I mean,
37.5. I think the only thing that's going to convince people that everybody wants EVs is that Tesla's just going to have to build a billion EVs. Like, that's just the only thing that will convince anybody. And, you know, it almost feels like Tesla may be a little bit too good at building EVs. I know that sounds nauseatingly fanboy. But, like, you know, Porsche comes out with their Taycan, and it actually has a very impressive charging speeds, 800 volt, much faster. But, like, Porsche... you know, with this legacy of the fastest cars in the world, isn't even coming close to Tesla's, you know, 7-seat capable Model S in 0 to 60 times. It's, you know, much better track times probably, but, you know, that's not what cars are really optimized for. And Audi and Jaguar are all coming out with their EVs, and they're not really close to what Tesla has on the road for 5 years. So I wonder if, like, Tesla being so good at building EVs is kind of hurting, you know, other companies getting in because they can't even come close. That might be a good opinion piece to throw out there.
So people, you say, like, people want to buy a Tesla because, like, it's a better EV and they cannot produce enough of them. So they won't buy EVs from other people because they're not as good. That's basically it. Right?
That's kind of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll go over well.
Yeah. Like you said, that sounds a lot fun, fanboy. I mean, I think there's a bunch of other great EVs that are going to come out in the next few years that are worth the money. I mean, we've been excited about the Kona EV, even though Hyundai, you know, don't want to let us drive it for some reason.
We know that reason.
Yeah.
The reason is we talk bad about their app.
Yeah.
Their blue app that kind of sucked. So.
Yeah.
But we're gonna drive it in January, I think.
No, that's gonna
unless,
be the
unless they listen
Kia
to this
one, the Kia version, podcast. The Niro EV. Kia is okay with letting us drive the Kia, the Niro EV. So, and
yeah,
pretty excited so about
next
this
month
one too. So, but
And actually, the Kia one's bigger, so that might be actually a better product, yeah. even though it has less range.
And the other stuff, too, I mean, I had a pretty good review of my first drive with the Audi e-tron, though, like I said, the efficiency is just not that good. But it shows some promise. The
charging is good.
Charging is good. And, yeah, I mean, the next year is going to be it's gonna be fun, I think.
Yep.
All right. Now I'm going to go to sleep because I'm not all there at all. All
right. So let's end this before Fred passes out.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. We're going to see you same place, same time next week. Ciao.